After we get through with that chili, we're going to ride around Mike's neighborhood. All the men are going to go spotlight deer and have a good time that night. Just kidding. We're not that church. Unless y'all want to, but just kidding. All right. All right. If you'll turn in your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 4, also 1 Corinthians chapter 4, I'm going to talk to you about continuing on this topic of discipleship and what it looks like, and what it looks like as a stateside church. By that I mean the churches of America versus the church worldwide. Fortunately, it looks a little different in some places than it does in others, and we're going to talk about that. You know, we've got four pillars in our church. There's prayer, there's praise, there's the word, and there's fellowship. And if you just heard, we offer opportunities for getting together and knowing each other outside of church, because that's a very powerful thing. It's a trick of the enemy for us to come just because we come to church and someone says, "How are you doing?" It's real easy to slip in, "Oh, I'm good, how are you?" And nobody's good, or you're not good, or you're good today, but you weren't good last week, and different things like that. We all go through stuff. That's life. But our pillars being powerful, praise, prayer, word, and fellowship, those are the four things that are major. And those things are all biblical. And if you're going to have a powerful gathering of people, a powerful gathering of people that believe in God, we can very quickly start having ministries and ministries and ministries and ministries, and if we're not careful, though certain ministries are good, they can take away from the main thrust. And things that are lesser in your own home, things that are lesser have to serve the things that are greater. You cannot have greater things serving the lesser things. Does that make sense to you? Just can't. I could give examples of that, but I won't take time. I think that makes sense, though. So, like, just an example. So if we had a pizza party for the kids, but we did not break open the word, you see how the greater served the less. It went underneath, and it even got covered up and washed out. We can't afford to do things like that. So I went to a conference one time, and I heard an incredible thing, because everybody was looking at the conference speakers. Like, what do I take home? What do I take to my church? And you're looking at these guys because they're running a certain number, or they look like a certain thing of what success might look like. And the speaker said one of the most powerful things I've ever heard to tell pastors. It was a conference for pastors, and he told the pastors, he said, "I know you're waiting on me to tell you the next greatest thing to go back to do and go back and start in your church." And he said, "I'm going to tell you something way different than what you thought." He said, "I want to tell you, pastors, you need to go back and see what you can kill. Not the people," because it wasn't that kind of conference. "But what can you kill that you consider a ministry, but it's eating away from the most important things?" Does that make sense? I thought that was a great word. I'd never heard anybody say that. And instead of saying, like, "You need this many ministries, you need all this stuff," he said, "Stop spreading everything so thin and find something to focus on and do that." Christine and I, we dropped our son Walker off at Anderson University this weekend, and we went by. I grew up around the corner. My dad pastored a church there in Anderson, and we went and took a couple of pictures of the signage. And you talk about 20 years ago, there's stuff in there that's 60 years ago. You remember the old Pepsi plastic signs, and it was in lines because you could stick the little letters into those lines and form sentences. Do you remember old signage like that? Okay. It wasn't electronic at all. It was plastic. And 60 years ago, I grew up as a child in that neighborhood. I don't know if you've ever heard of this before, but it's called Skins Hot Dogs. Has anybody ever heard of Skins? If you, yeah, that there you go. There's a witness right there. There's a yum witness. If you've never heard of it, I can tell you the Skins hot dogs are top 10 in the United States. I don't want to see no naysayers. My mother-in-law just gave it a thumbs down. I will be rebuking that spirit. And I'm serious about that. No, but why did I say that? Because they do a couple of things there. They do hot dogs and chili and mustard and onions and slaw. And if you want anything past that, outside of a bag of chips and a homemade chocolate cake and a couple of candy bars, you're going to have to go to another place to get that. Because they do one thing, and if you saw it, you would be shocked. This building looks like Taj Mahal compared to the original. We were at the original Skins. I grew up around the corner from it. What a name, Skins. And they're serving hot dogs. And if you ever look up how hot dogs were made and the name of the place is called Skins, you're like, what am I doing here? But they do one thing, and they do it well. And out of that pitiful little building, they're one of the top 10 in the United States for hot dogs. How about that? What if we did certain things well? I get a little bothered when I go to a restaurant and they give you a book of items, hundreds of things on the menu. That touches some people in a better way than it does me. But I want you to do something well. And I believe that the picture of the church is such that we should have some basic principles that we line up under. I mean, he is God after all. He's God after all. And he's given us his word and his principles. So our top principles should line up under what he's given us, right? Now, I said stateside. In the stateside, there's a lot of seeker-friendly churches, and there are a lot of churches that will let you know everything that you're doing wrong. I believe that you can be too hard at a church. I believe a preacher can be too hard. I also believe that in our effort to gain numbers and our motives there and seeker-friendly, that the end of that can end up in dollar bills and our attraction to those things. In our attraction to acquire those things, we lose our touch with what he is saying. Just like, if as a man I am raking people over the coals every week when I'm a man, I think that that can easily get off track as well. When the truth is, you're not here to get raked over the coals. You're not here to get your money extracted from you. Giving is a condition of the heart, I believe. And everything in the world takes money. I'm not preaching about money this morning. But to just help you understand, what we need to do needs to be where we are preaching the principles of the Word of God. And I believe if we'll do that, then everything else will line up accordingly. And I see it right here. And we live in peace, and we walk in peace, and God supplies our need. Amen. So Timothy is being taught by Paul, and we've referenced this several times because we've been talking about discipleship over about the last 6 weeks, and I will stick to what I said, that discipleship is your responsibility, but it doesn't mean that the church is without responsibility. We need to offer you things. We need to give you things that are resources. We need to give opportunities for us to come together in fellowship, come together and worship together, come together, open up his word, and all of those things, come together and pray. But Paul is telling Timothy right there, he's charging him, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, he will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they, the church, will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. So I just want to reference that. And when I think about what's going on in the world, in the church, in the world church, and I look at what I know is going on, and some of the things that are there, and some of the challenges that churches have, and on the world scale, I realize that a lot of the challenges that are in the world, as far as even having church, a lot of them I don't face in the United States. And I'm thankful for that. But there are people that had to sneak and slip to arrive at a gathering place that looked nothing like this today. There are people there who push past everything that would have kept them away to make that meeting that could cost them their life. There are people this week whose lives have been taken. There are ministers whose lives have been taken. There are countries right now that want to completely shut down the preaching of the Word of God. And in the United States, we can come to church. We can throw up a church anywhere. It used to be a pretty brick building in the center of the city with a steeple on it. And now it could be anywhere. We could get online and preach to anybody, say anything that we want to say in the United States. We can rent out mall spaces, old movie theaters. We can go into old clubs and refit them and make them look nice and cool. And why wouldn't anybody want to come? Well, if you didn't want to come, now you want to come, because we'll provide everything. We'll make it as comfortable for you, and it'll just be, you'll walk away from that thing like, man, what an experience. Wow. If you're not careful, nothing will have changed in your life. That's the danger. I'm not against church. I'm not against church. Paul said this about people that were preaching. He said, even in contentions, Jesus is being preached. That slapped me around one time, because it is easy to look around and know what your heart is and try to believe that you're following the Lord and look around at some things that are just pure shenanigans and that they shape people and that they pull people, and not to be offended in that. But Paul said he sees it. The other disciple said, well, what about that? And he said, don't worry about it. Jesus is getting preached. You know what that tells me? It's not my church. It's his. It's his. But I want to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and I just want to read verse 9, and then I'm going to read 11, 12, and 13. You can read 10 if you want to. I'm not trying to just skip over it, but you know how I try to rush y'all in and rush y'all out and save time and be efficient. So I'll read 10 just in case. 9 through 13. Paul is talking about this. He's talking about being a fool for Christ's sake. And verse 9, he says, for I think that God has displayed us. He's talking about the apostles. It says right there. He's talking about a group of men that were carrying on the gospel. He said, for I think that God has displayed us, the apostles, last. We've taken the position of last. As men condemned to death. For we've been made a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. And that word spectacle is translated as theater. We've been made theater. We're like starring roles in the theater, but it's not something that we would be grateful to be starring in because we're going through something. And we're doing it on your behalf. And what we're doing is for you. And we're laying down our lives for you. And he says, I think God has displayed us, the apostles, last, as men condemned to death. We've been made a spectacle to God and to men and to the angels. For we are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are distinguished, but we are dishonored. To the present hour, we both hunger and thirst. And he's talking about physically. He said, at this very present hour, we are hungry and we're thirsty. We are poorly clothed and beaten and homeless. And we labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless. He said, here's our response. We're being reviled, and we bless back. That right there shows you a tremendous amount of maturity in these men right now. Because the first thing we want to do is if we're hit back, not just hit back harder. It's just inside of us. Women too. We labor working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we endure. Being defamed, we entreat. That means we encourage back. That means we exhort back. We have been made as the filth of the world, the offscouring of all things until now. So let me just say, if I was looking for a church, we've got visitors here today. I want you to know that you're welcome. A lot of times when I ask somebody, how did you find it? If I have time, I don't have time to do that every time. But if I have time, I say, how did you find it? A lot of people say, I looked you up online. But what if you saw somebody that was defamed and reviled and persecuted and poorly dressed and beaten and homeless? Hey, honey, this looks like a good church to go to. Let's take the children down there. They'll have a great time. Homeless, he'll have incredible stories. They'll laugh, and maybe they can sit on his knee. Mm-mm. You wouldn't go anywhere near that. That was the commonplace thing back then. Do you know what the up-and-coming, out-front churches are doing now? Well, honey, we're so up-and-coming, We're not going to drive to church anymore. We're going to be driven to church from now on. And we're going to pull up, and they're going to be waiting on us. And they're going to have the cameras. And you ain't going to wear that. We're going to where our garments are tailor-made for us. And I will never wear a regular T-shirt from TJ Maxx anymore. It'll be a T-shirt that costs more than most of my folks' paycheck in a week. Because we got to put it out there that we've got the favor of the Lord. That's the up and coming and hottest and coolest churches in the world. Bothers me. Jealous? I could be. I mean, my flesh could be jealous. Maybe I'm jealous. Maybe it's my flesh. Or maybe I just read the scripture about the Apostle Paul who said he's hungry and thirsty. He's being lied about and being struck down verbally and being challenged and poorly dressed. I just feel like if Apostle Paul could show up at most of our churches, be like, well, bro, you got to change them nasty clothes. And you can't be looking so jacked up, and you got to have it together, man. And that beard you got, goodness, you shave that thing down to a shadow, you keep it like that, but don't you come in here. We don't know if bugs are growing up in that beard or whatnot. Y'all know I love to grow a big beard. My wife be looking at me like, I've been trying to talk. She's like, crumbs and mustard, my daughter. Thank you, Michaela. A word from Michaela.
Mustard.
I'm going to go back over here with some friendly folk. Just less skin. There you go. Just less skin. Proud of that mustard. And you know that Paul lived this thing out. He had to live it out. Do you remember, I mean, we talked about last week about him in front of King Agrippa and how it went back to where he was given a word from the Lord that Paul is, it went like in King James, it says, Paul, you must needs go to Rome and you must appear before Caesar. And he had to get reminded of that along the way, because along the way a shipwreck took place, and along the way a snake bite took place, and along the way challenges took place, and along the way Paul thought he was going to die along the way. And he had to be reminded, remember I told you, you got to go to Rome and you got to appear before Caesar. And I love that scripture at the end of all that, and it said, and so Paul arrived in Rome. If you just read that, now how about let's just cherry pick a scripture. You know, there's whole denominations that have cherry picked a scripture. What about if we do that this morning? And so Paul arrived at Rome. There's our scripture. Well, I guess God had his hand on Paul, and Paul couldn't have died until he showed up at Rome. Can I tell you, yes, you would be correct in that, but you would miss the fact that Paul thought he was going to die on his way to Rome. And Paul had heard from God to go to Rome. How many of you have had a word from God and you haven't got there yet, but there's been times you thought, I might die along the way? And maybe that dream is dying, and maybe that word is dying in you. I'm telling you, don't let go of that word. It almost happened to me 20 years ago. And they started playing that song, God is Here, just like I told you. And now 20 years on down the road, I'm so thankful that I didn't quit. It didn't mean that I wasn't going to leave my friend's ice company. I was going to continue to work at his ice company. Christy and I were going to drive to Georgia 3.5 hours there and back. We were going to do that for a year. And you want to know, let me just go give you some more even crazy, because, you know, I told you we had Kenzie. During the week, I was driving from Greenville to Cartersville, Georgia, 3.5 hours a week for the weekends. During the week, I was driving a little over an hour to get to Elberton, Georgia, to run ice trucks all week so that I could get home to my family. Sometimes staying over in Elberton overnight, too tired, sleeping in the factory on the couch, trying to get home to my little babies, saying, God, what is this all about? To go 3.5 hours to Cartersville, Georgia, to go to a wonderful church who loved us. I mean, we had an incredible relationship. It's Jensen, you've heard of Jensen Franklin? It's his brother's church. His brother's with the Lord now. But we were at Richie Franklin's church and drive back home, and they finally said, you know, can we just quit the nonsense? And we went and looked at houses and, like, we want to hire you. We've been trying to hire you. The job is yours if you'll take it. And I finally said, I'm tired of these ice plants. I'm tired of driving back and forth to Greenville, to Elberton, Georgia all week long. And then I'm tired of driving all the way to Cartersville. Let's just move up here. And I was like, I'll take it. When he flashed those plus six figures in front of my face, oh, yeah, I got a little flesh. I said, yes, yes, hallelujah. It's the Lord. And they had paid us wonderfully, they all along the way. And then all of a sudden, that was on a Wednesday. I wish it hadn't been a Wednesday. I wish it had been a Thursday, because Wednesday they had church, and they were excited, and Pastor Franklin went back to the church and told them Wednesday night, well, folks, Pastor John and Christine, they've decided to join us. They're going to be on full time. And I had to call him back Friday and say, Pastor Richie, I said yes, but the Lord said no. And I tried to push it, but he has beat me up for 2 days, and I had to call you and tell you I'm so sorry. And he's like, John, I wish you would have told me. I'm like, well, I wish you would have asked me yesterday and not Wednesday, and you're the one that told the church. And we went back, and we said, we'll stay on until you get somebody. So we stayed a few more months and loved those people, wonderful people. And I had to leave and not know what I was going to do. I had a child with special needs, and them six figures were like, they're like, John, 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 why didn't you? That was the Lord trying to provide. No, I think that was just a God Q-tip when he said, are you still going to hear my voice? So I fear that stateside church and what it is over here is not what it is in the world. And I have hard feelings about that. I'm like, Lord, well, this is your thing. This is how do we please you? How do we advance your kingdom? How do we get out there of who you are when now we've put a message out there that following God should look a certain way. You should have arrived by now. And there's a certain sense of failure if you're not this far along in your life by now. And so I just have to back up and ask myself, but who am I following? Who am I pleasing? What am I fighting? And what am I fighting for? And what does that look like? And what am I projecting? And what am I putting out there for my kids? What am I teaching them? What am I showing them? And what's this going to look like in 20 years for them? And serious questions. I said last week, if by His Spirit He showed us everything that was in front of us, it would probably scare us to death. And I say that the faith walk is very exciting. And it takes faith. If the Apostle Paul was giving up on the word that was giving to him, thinking that he's going to die, and everybody around him was going to die, and had to have an angel show up to him and say, nope, they're not going to die. They just need some instruction. You tell them to do this, and everyone will make it. You're going to crash. Boat's going to sink, and here's instructions for those that can swim. Here's your instruction. For those that can swim, swim. For those that can't swim, grab onto a board and float in. I'm telling you, there's been times in my life, I'm actually a pretty decent swimmer. If nothing else, I can float and move my arms, and I'll get there in a minute. But there's been times in my life where I felt like I couldn't swim. I felt like the water was about to overtake me. And he said, grab a piece of busted up ship, grab a piece of wood, and hang on. And I felt like I'm there. But I'm telling you, it's worth it, and it's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it. And I'm encouraging someone this morning to hold on. Don't stop. Do not stop. And I don't look for anybody to say, hey, Pastor, you're talking to me. That was me. Hallelujah. Thank you for that word. That was just, you know, if it's you. If something that you've been praying for and you haven't seen it happen, hold on. Those prayers are powerful. You can team that together with someone. You could take someone's hand right here and say, hey, I've been praying about something. You don't have to tell them what it was to say. Would you just agree with me for it? Something powerful in that. We don't have to know everything, but if you're holding on to something you've been praying for, you haven't said, hold on. Hold on. Do you know that God's word is God's word and it is unchanging? So if he said it, it's going to happen. One of my favorite passages of scripture is out of Isaiah where it said, I declared the former things long ago. They went forth from my mouth. I spoke them. Suddenly I acted and they came to pass. There are things that God has spoken and he set them in order in time and they have gone from his mouth and they will come to pass. Don't give up right before suddenly. I'm holding on to some suddenlies in my life. And if you've ever had a suddenly in your life, you know what I'm talking about. When you had exhausted everything that you could do, when you had prayed every prayer that you could pray, when you had done everything that you felt like it took, and it looked like this is going nowhere, and suddenly God moved. That's what I'm talking about. The discouragement that you'll face right before suddenly can be overwhelming. It was overwhelming for Paul. It would be overwhelming for any of us. But I've got to believe that there are still some suddenlies out there. Amen. Christine, would you come? So I can't be responsible for what stateside churches look like. I pray for them. I don't want to sound like a bitter pastor. I don't want to sound like I don't love people. I love God. I love his word. I know the power of his word. And I constantly see things that seemingly are watering it down. It's hard to believe that it's not watering it down. But as bad as men can do that type of thing, the truth of God, there's enough life to go around when people, there's enough things that you're going to face that people will quickly come to grips with. A cool event for me on Sunday didn't get me through this. Jesus got me through this. Amen. His word was what I held on to, not a church block party. I believe in the fellowship of the believers. I believe in praising a God who's none like him and worthy of so much. I believe in praying, and I believe in his word. And those things are the fabric by which we are going to be strong in him. And we're going to produce results in him. So I'm just asking you this morning, in this discipleship training and these words about discipleship, I want to encourage you. If there's anything inside of you, in any part of your life, anything in your relationship, those that are married, with your husband, with your wife, the relationship with your children as they get older, as they move from toddlers into young children, some are strong-willed. If that relationship, you feel like, I don't know how to do this. As they move on to teenage years and there's this strife that could take place, I want to encourage you, don't give up, don't stop, don't quit, keep praying, keep going to God's word. Do the things that you can do, but hold on to him who can do what you can't. Aren't you thankful that you've got a God that can do what you can't? Hallelujah. Will you stand with me this morning?